What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. Brian Weedye, what's happening, my friend?
Oh, you know, I'm having a great time here as the weather gets better, and I'm spending a lot of my free time. I mentioned this in a tweet. You, of course, don't tweet anymore, Rich. But
do not I am, tweet.
Yeah, I know. I've been going through my house and getting rid of things.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. I've downsized things like my couch, and I'm just creating space, and it is incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, I've got I am a fan of that, and I've got some of that to do. I am 100% aware that it has to happen, which is the real key, right? You got to know that you need to get rid of stuff. But getting rid of stuff is a difficult thing. You can't just throw it out the front door. Well, I suppose you can. It can be an expensive proposition too,
yeah.
Right? Depending upon what you're trying to do. But I am definitely, I love the feeling. On Saturdays, I will typically bring, you know, toss a bunch of stuff, you know, that I don't need, garbage and stuff, into my pickup and bring it over to the township center where they let you do that. One of the best feelings is driving away from that with an empty truck on Saturday mornings. Love that.
Yeah. Truck. You know, I've got like boxes of cables and like old electronics
and stuff.
Yeah, it's like even if I did need it, I would not spend my time searching for it. I'd go on Amazon and buy a new one.
Now, if it's an old NES or something, that's different, right? I imagine you're just talking about old, just like, I have no idea what cable this goes to. I haven't needed it for 7 years, so I am going to just remove it from my life.
That's right. Let me tell you, I did find, as I was going through the boxes, I found the original Xbox system.
Oh, you got to hold on to that.
Yeah.
So I got that. I have all of my consoles, really, since my PS2. PS2 forward, I have still have them all. And to me, that's not a bad thing. Like, that's not, you know, a box of cables that I haven't opened up in 7 years and won't need. Like, I got all of these. I got the PS2, PS3, PS4, Xbox OG, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox One X, GameCube, Wii U, Switch. I got them all. And some of them are still out. Some of them are packed up. But to me, that's not stuff you get rid of. To me, that's stuff you hold on to. But
no, I kept that. I've got a cabinet that has all my old consoles in it.
Nice.
So I just added that. I found my PS2 also. I don't have the Nintendo ones. And then I got rid of my Xbox One just because my Xbox Series X can play all that stuff anyway. So
yeah, no, I'm not saying that's, and you know, and in fact, what's interesting is the newer they get, the less valuable they are. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I would imagine my PS2 and my 360 are much more playable if you plug them in than like my Xbox One X if there's like no internet or something. You probably can't even make it do anything.
Yeah.
Whereas the PS2 or the GameCube or the Wii U even, they'll just fire right up. Whatever you got. You put a disc in there, you're good.
It actually works. Yeah, it's one of those things. I was just like, wow, the size of this Xbox controller is amazing compared to today's controllers. But yeah, I've been getting rid of a lot of stuff on like OfferUp, and I've actually been getting money doing it also, which makes it feel even better. But yeah, that's what I've been doing mostly. And then also, again, you're not on Twitter, but I have a new puppy at home, so. That's
oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love to hear that. What kind of a dog?
So it's we got a small, it's a German Shepherd mix rescue.
Oh boy.
We've been just having a lot of fun with puppies.
I'd love to hear it.
Never a slow moment. We'll probably be interrupted by dogs barking at some point tonight. But
dude, how long have we been working together? And we have been interrupted by dogs barking since the beginning. There's no other way to do it.
That's become much more accepted since the pandemic, and in a lot of podcasts and in like meetings and Zooms and stuff. Like, it's part of life now, and people appreciate it. So, you know, I can bring Rocky on sometime, and he'll add his thoughts to the podcast, and you know, we have a good time with it.
Rocky is a very good boy.
He's been sick.
Oh no.
He's had this like I don't know if it's a infection of some sort, but it's been stubborn, and we haven't been able to get rid of it. And
it's too bad.
Yeah, but
give him
he's
a few
okay.
Extra pats on the head for me, okay?
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you. He loves
it. I met
it, yeah.
Rocky. I know that dog.
Yep,
he's a good boy. He's a
yep,
very good
that's
boy.
That's right. That's right. Yep. But that's the latest with me, and I know you had a vacation. I'd love to get out of town at some point again. I had my I don't remember if it was since the last podcast, but I had my road trip from Seattle to Nashville, and that was a fun experience. Although again, it was during a pandemic in which you can't really stop and do anything. But it was just a fun experience driving across the country to where my sister now lives.
Yeah, for the first time in 2 years, I took 4 days off. 4 days, which was amazing, especially because it was we are in the final stages of two massive projects. One for Out of the Park Baseball, localizing the game in Korean for the Korean market, which has been an extraordinary amount of time and people and when I say people, I mean people in Germany, France, the United States, Canada, and South Korea all collaborating for months because the amount of text in Out of the Park Baseball is more than probably anything. And I'm not like trying to be hyperbolic. There's just so much text between screens and databases and scripts and so much in so many different places that has different, wildly different contexts based upon how it is being used and displayed. Like, I've learned things over the last 4.5 months of this project about how data is architected and structured. It's unbelievable. And, Brian, during that same time, we have been finaling the long-awaited, multi-year awaited Out of the Park Go mobile app, which a couple of days ago, as we record this show, actually went live in Canada and in Australia. So it has been those 4 days were between an extraordinary several few months, which really even began during crunch for Out of the Park 22, which came out in March. So all I can say is, yes, I for the first time in 2 years, I took 4 days off, and it was in the middle of all that. And Brian, I'm telling you, as a human being, if I hadn't had those 4 days, it would have been really tough to make those two things happen because, you know, and I'm not complaining. I hope this doesn't come across as complaining because it's the farthest thing from it, right? But you know, the amount of work that has gone into delivering the Korean version of Out of the Park Baseball and Out of the Park Go has been extraordinary. And I'm wildly happy and thankful to be a part of it. And the whole community is really like, we're right there. We're almost done with both. Both are going to be done like this month, meaning June. And so it's been a great time.
Yeah, I'm amazed that you were able to get away and decompress in the middle of all
of
that.
Well, I mean, like I said, I almost had to, right? Just because, first of all, you know, my wife and I haven't been away for 2 years, right? So, and now you actually can go do stuff, right? We'd waited 2 years for this, and it was the first real opportunity we had to go do it, and we did it, and it was worth it. It was great, and of course, you know, Kate, I keep things moving from my end during, you know, like I'm you know, you got to keep things moving. But it was a legit vacation, 4 legit days. It was good.
It was you earned it.
I did. I'm not trying to be that guy. Like, it was just, it was, you know, yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah.
And I'm also excited to be back and delivering everything right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some interesting stuff to look forward to here in June.
Absolutely.
Also, which is why I thought we should get together again. It's been a little while.
Yeah, I'm excited. Lots of great stuff to talk to. You sent me a list of stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's right. Look at all this. Let's go. What's number one on the agenda, man?
I think the biggest news recently was Metalhead Software.
Oh, yeah.
Makers of Super Mega Baseball, which, you know, I can talk about Super Mega Baseball all the time and on Twitter and and all that. And I think it's still not a game that a lot of people recognize what it is, because it's been unlicensed, and you know, a lot of people just don't gravitate towards those type of games anymore. Well, and we know that it's
Well, no, but I don't know where you're going, and I am interrupting you, and I apologize, but I think that I strongly disagree even with the initial sentiment, because they made three extraordinary games.
Yes.
And those games have been noticed by everybody in the video game industry.
I think they've been noticed critically more than in terms of, like, sales, right?
And that's fine, but they've been noticed by everybody in the video game industry, and then they just got bought by EA, which, look, if you look in the archive of this show, Brian, we'd ask Scott Drader from Metalhead Software makes many appearances. We've done
I think we can take credit for the acquisition.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, I am not going to argue that at all. In all seriousness, I am so happy for Scott Drader. If you listen to this show, he is on here telling you, like, this was a 10, 15 year, not 15, maybe at least 10. This, he has been at this for a long time, and he has put everything personally into this. And his story is on this feed, right? Like, it's all there, like, from how he began. We haven't talked to him for, it hasn't been that long, right? I'm going to say this probably 3 or 4 years back was the last time we talked to him. But he's on here 3, 4, 5, 6 times easily. I'm so happy for him. So happy for him to see somebody, like, I don't know how to describe it other than to say he had a real vision for what Super Mega Baseball is. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to bring something like that to the market that he brought it to? How many different hurdles you have to go over to achieve it, especially with a game like Super Mega Baseball is a very, very specific vision of a game in terms of art style, in terms of gameplay, in terms of how you put together a team, in terms of what it does. Like, it is not a color by numbers kind of a game or a franchise.
No.
You know, not only that, but they also have been very good about understanding co-op play and very good about understanding multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just incredibly happy for Scott Drader and for everyone at Metalhead Software. They made three tremendous games, and they now have been acquired. And God bless them. I have a feeling that he's Scott and the Metalhead leadership are going to have an opportunity to drive the franchise moving forward. Right. I have that sense, not because I've spoken to Scott, because I have not. I actually sent him a note of congratulations. Right. But that's, I haven't heard back from him. We haven't spoken or anything like that. So I'm not saying I have any info to that effect. I don't. I just have a feeling that, you know, they got bought by EA because EA is like, wow, these guys are really good. They make a great game, and we can do something awesome with them. So I'm happy for them, and I'm also very excited. Like, I view this as a good thing for the future.
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement. If you look at what they had to overcome.
That's a great way to say it. Great way to say it.
It is. There is a graveyard full of games that tried to do what Super Mega Baseball did, and it's pretty much the only one I can think of that succeeded. Like, after the first one, I don't think there was any certainty there would be a second. I mean, maybe internally there was, but from the outside looking in, it didn't seem like a sure thing. But they just kept producing a fantastic game. And I think what I was trying to get at first was really the perception of what it is. And, you know, some people think it's just a silly arcade game, and it's really not. It's very centered in simulation, actually. It just has the flair of an arcade type title on it to give it some, like, pizzazz and attraction. So what they've done, though, with it is some really simulation features, and, like you said, online play and cross play and things of that nature, that they've gone well beyond what you would expect from a game like that. And so it obviously makes sense as for them to be an acquisition target, because not only are they, is EA bringing in the Super Mega Baseball brand, which I think we can speculate that Major League Baseball could become involved with the next one of those. But also EA is bringing in the talent from the team. Right. And I don't know if they specifically said it in the initial press release, but they kind of at least hinted that they're going to go beyond Super Mega Baseball, and you know, that maybe that means other sports.
Well, who knows, right? You never know where these things are going to go. You never know, because you know, when you're a studio and you're acquired by a larger company, you know, there are agreements that are made, and there are people that stay and people that go. But you know, on the other hand, then real life happens, and organizations and individuals learn to work together in ways that you can't always predict. So, but I have a really good feeling about it. I just really do. You know, I forget the names, but the head of EA Sports was quoted in an article saying, look, I played this game with my kids and I could tell it's a really good game. I just thought it'd be fun. You know, it'd be great if we could have it be part of our arsenal. And I really think that they're going to be given a chance to get some additional resources delivered and do something. And, I can't wait for what that is. I mean, like you said, speculation, it could go in 20 directions, right? They could go, you know, they could make, I'm just being silly right here. They could partner with Disney and get, you know, a version of, instead of Mario Baseball, right? Get Disney Baseball, right? Like they could do some license deal and take that engine and have it be, you know, 100 characters from Disney. Or they could do MLB based stuff. Or they could do something different, right? Take the engine, you know, and I don't know enough about engines to know what they're good at doing or not, and do different kinds of things, right? There's a lot of different ways they could go with this, and it'll be really interesting to see what they do.
And look at what EA is doing now. They're bringing back college football, they're bringing back golf, and now they're bringing in at least some form of baseball, whether it ends up being MLB licensed or not. They're building out that portfolio, right, of games that they kind of used to have in the past and that evaporated over the last decade, to where, you know, at one point it was like, man, EA could have their own like sports game subscription service. And then really after about like 2013, it started to look like that could not really sustain itself anymore if they wanted to go that direction. Now, of course, they're in Xbox Game Pass and they're in EA Play, outside of that.
Right. So, yeah, but they're using, right. And that's why, as we've talked about, I'm sure that's why they still have the NBA, you know, rights to some degree, because they're going to get back in that. Right. And that's what EA is one of the few companies in the world that can do it. Right. Is be everywhere in sports. Right. They're in UFC. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense. If you can make it happen, you make it happen. Obviously, if you have 8 or 9 or 10 major licensed sports products, some are going to be better than others. Some are going to be struggling at times. Some are going to be doing well, right? There's just, that's how it is, right? Like Live has sort of, you know, gone away for a couple of years, but, you know, they've hired people and they're doing things and they're probably going to come back with something really interesting at some point, right? So they're back in the golf. As you said, they've said college football is coming back. It makes a lot of sense, you know, because they have the scale to do that. They have the relationships to do that. There's very few companies that could do it, right? You know, look at the struggles that companies like Amazon have had in video games, right? Like, yeah, you can name giant billion-dollar corporations that could potentially do it, but it's one thing to say, you know, companies could do it versus others that actually have experience and you know, whether things are working well or not, just being able to produce products goes a long way. So it's to me, it's a good thing for people like us who love sports games that these things are coming back, right? There's going to be more and more. I think it's a really good trend. Very happy about it.
And it also really gives something that EA doesn't have right now, which is, a title that is appealing to a younger demographic in addition to obviously the older demographic, which pays out money for their ultimate team modes and all that. But we've lost those bridge games, like we used to talk about, those arcade style games in the past that could appeal to a wider audience. And Super Mega Baseball, with that kind of exposure, with the EA brand behind it and the marketing behind it, I think it has the potential to reach a lot more people. And it's just
a really good game, right? Like that at its core, well, that's it's a really good game. And if you've got a really good game, you have good chances.
it's kind of frustrating because, like, I would tweet, you know, Super Mega Baseball, and you'd get comments from people who did not understand what the game really was, like I said earlier. And there's still that. It's like EA bought Super Mega Baseball, and people don't, you know, the only real reaction you see from most people is that, well, now EA is going to ruin it in some way. And I understand that concern, and there's certainly the potential for that to happen, or the potential for EA to screw up a studio acquisition, which they have, of course, done in the past. But I think this is, in all likelihood, going to be really good things for Super Mega Baseball, and really good things for the people who are involved behind that. And I'm excited about where that's going to lead in the future.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more.
We want to talk about another game that had some interesting news that's highly anticipated, although maybe not for the realistic reasons. The 2K NFL game, the first game they're going to release with their NFL license, which apparently they have multiple planned or in the works. Common expectation is for this to be an arcade style game, something along the lines of like The Park in NBA 2K or NBA Playgrounds or WWE Battlegrounds, something in that area. Well, it's not coming out this year. We found out it's going to be next year, so presumably next August, around then, instead of this August. Didn't surprise me. I think it's obviously, with the circumstances around development, it would be pretty tough to launch a game what was probably a compressed schedule and certainly more complications in doing so remotely. And so they're giving themselves more time to do it. And so we're not going to see anything like that out of E3 coming up, anything to do with 2K's NFL. But, you know, this is going to remain, obviously, a game that everybody wants to talk about, Rich, even before we know what it's comprised of or what its angle is going to be. But now we know it's going to be a longer wait. But look, we've gone, 16 years without a 2K? Well, okay, 2K8. So 13 years or so without a 2K game. So now we're going to get one, but it's not going to be this year.
I cannot imagine how challenging this it must be to make this game. Like, where do you start? Do you start with stuff you had from 10 years ago? Who do you hire? The ability to create a football game from scratch is an extraordinarily difficult idea. Like, I wouldn't sign up for that. And 2K has had football games and basketball games and baseball games and all sorts of other sports, hockey. But I mean, man, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see anything for many years, because look, this is 2K. They take a long time making their flagship games. They haven't made a new Grand Theft Auto in two generations.
And they have no need to.
Well, no, I'm not even saying it. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. That's the bottom line. Like, all of this comes from the fact that Take-Two knows what they're doing more than anybody knows what they're doing with all of their franchises. So I'm not concerned that they can't do it. I'm just saying, like, it's an extraordinary effort and resources, but it's not like it's not a thing that you just throw money at, right? To make a really good football video game, you have to have great technology, great people, great ideas, great designers, great producers, great project managers. You know, you have to have a whole lot of talent, and there's no company in the world like Take-Two that can acquire that talent. But with everything else that they make and they do, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see this game for 4 or 5 years. And I'm not trying to be that guy.
Oh, man, Rich.
I don't know what this game is going to be. Like, it can't be Madden. We know it can't be a sim, which actually is probably a good thing, because if it's going to be 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, then theoretically it should take less time to make than if it were going to be a bigger, more complex game. So, you know, all I'm saying, Brian, is I have no idea what they have cooking, but I am not surprised that it's not coming out soon, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see it for years, because they don't have to, right? They can wait for years and then put something together that's great, or they could put something out next month. Who knows? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, there is something we're not privy to, and that's the details of whatever contract they signed with the NFL, which may mandate what they're going to be doing in the years ahead, or that they release a certain game every other year or whatever it might be. Because I think generally the expectation now is going to be an arcade game on consoles, maybe some mobile type games, like their Supercard type games on mobile, and because they're working on some different angles here, but we don't know exactly what they're going to come with on the consoles, and who knows if they got down the road with one and decided, it's not actually going to work. Let's scrap it and start over. And that's the delay. You know, we don't know any of that, but we're going to be waiting. And it's just, I would not get hopes up for anything specific at this point until we find out what they're actually trying to do.
Nope. Not at all.
Rich, we have, I've gotten questions about this. Any expectations for E3 and EA Play, which is mid-June? I can go back and, I was looking back on the type of information we're going to get. People have been asking, when are we going to get Madden stuff? And this is when EA starts to roll it out in recent years. It's mid-June. It's usually the week before what is EA Play now that they release the first information. So I think we can expect Madden, FIFA, probably not NHL, I don't think we're going to see anything golf yet. So it might just be Madden and FIFA, and then again, we're not going to get anything from 2K. But do you have any expectations for those events this month?
I don't expect anything until EA Play, which is in late July, and then I think they'll roll out the themes for Madden, FIFA, and NHL. I think they'll, if they have an idea what the next Super Mega Baseball is, they'll probably say something about that. But no, I don't have any expectations, because I'm not thinking about E3 or EA Play, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just with E3 being a digital, being digital this year as well as in last year, and sort of, the incredible turmoil that it's gone through. As a sports video game fan, it's June 2021. And the new consoles are out, right? There's no sort of huge explosive new thing happening. So to me, I wouldn't expect much of anything. I would prefer to sort of wait until a month or two before the games come out, and then just get all the straight information and videos and developer diaries, and here's the cool stuff that we did this year and all that kind of thing. That's what I would be hoping for. It is not a whole lot at E3. I'd want them heads down building the game, so like a month before they come out, they can tell me everything about them.
I didn't realize until you said it, EA Play is in July 22nd. Okay. It's usually right at E3, which is mid-June, and it's not this year. So I don't know. I wonder if they'll release anything around E3 for Madden, because they can't wait much longer. Late July is probably too late for a reveal of Madden. So we may still get some Madden and FIFA stuff this month. But yeah, they bumped it back to July 22nd, huh? It's interesting.
Well, I mean, not for nothing, right? But like, I don't think for a sports game, you should be 4 months out in front, right?
Like, it doesn't need to be.
No, there's no need. Everyone knows when it's going to come out. And so you spend the most, and this is what we do with Out of the Park, right? I'm not saying what anyone should do, but I'm just saying for me, we spend heads down until about 5 weeks before the game comes out. And then we say, all right, here is everything that the game is about. And then we focus on that. So I think that makes the most sense. Now, again, E3 gives them an opportunity to get out in front of some stuff and take a little, take a little spotlight. So I'm not saying if I
can,
put a spotlight on my game. Of course, who wouldn't want to do that, right?
That's only for Madden. That's only 2 months. Also,
right, that's what I mean. I could see something happening in E3, but I think they're going to save all of the, maybe not all, but as much of the good stuff as they can for their own show in July.
When do they lead with franchise or do they not? Just your prediction. Do they lead with the franchise stuff, which was such the hot topic last year?
I think so, but I think that's because what most fans understand. I mean, most people that think about Madden football think about the traditional mode, and the Ultimate Team players think about Ultimate Team. When you're reaching a broad audience, you don't want to go right into Ultimate Team because then people won't know what the heck you're talking about.
And Ultimate Team is usually...
You want to set a theme, right? You just want to say, hey, this is what Madden's about this year, right? It's about, whether it's the cover athlete or whether it's a particular area of the gameplay that you've focused a lot of time on or whether it's like a new mode, like whatever it is. Like that's where you want to, when you want to make your big splash to a broad audience, you don't want to be like, we're going to have... 37 new ways to play Ultimate Team. Right? People say, what?
No.
What are you talking
about? Ultimate Team is...
But the Ultimate Team players want to know all about it, but that's not who you're hitting at E3.
No, that's usually the last thing that that EA goes into, actually, before release. Usually it's real close to release. Looking at last year, they revealed gameplay stuff. They revealed the single player mode and that you could play with college football teams with a limited number of them. I would not be surprised if we see them leverage some more college football stuff, especially.
If they can, absolutely. Yeah. That would be, dude, people get, if they have the opportunity to, oh my gosh, I hope they do. People love it. I would love it.
We're still like 2 years away, people, from college football. Yeah. Don't ask about that yet.
That's fine. But take your time. Your time, please.
Yeah. So
I'd much rather wait a couple of years and get a really fun game than something that they had to feel like they had to rush to get out there.
All right. Well, if there is any interesting news out of E3, we'll do another podcast on it, Rich. What have you been playing recently? Because there's one game I wanted to talk about a little bit that I haven't gotten into too deep, but we can start a little bit. We've continued our Madden franchise online.
Yeah, and I really am glad because this is what, year five?
Four.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
I think so, because I won the first two Super Bowls, and then I lost in overtime of the third one to Dylan. So I think we're in year four.
So I've been doing the thing that you don't do, right? This drives purists crazy, but I bounce around franchises. I just take over different teams. Like I was the Eagles, and then I'm like, you know what? I feel like being someone different. So I took over the Browns for a couple of years. And because I just like playing the games and not managing the salary cap just drives me insane. I actually wound up losing my quarterback, so I had to sign a terrible quarterback. I played another year. I was like, thank God for you, Brian Weed, because you texted me. You're like, hey, look, we're moving forward. You sent me the highlights of yet another spectacular Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I said, look, I'd love to play, but like I want to play with somebody who's fun, who's good, and you gave me some options, and then you handed me the Los Angeles Chargers on a silver platter, Brian Weed. I'm having a great time. I'm 2-0. Game one, I was in control from the start. Game two, got off to a rough start, was down 17-0, came back and won 24-17. Could have made it 31 easily, but I took a knee inside the 5-yard line as time expired because I'm not going to be stupid. I don't need a dumb injury. Well, it's more like I don't want to, I don't want, because I had a couple guys get dinged up, including one who had a serious injury too. So I didn't want to tempt the Madden gods in that sure. way either. So I'm so glad you did it because it's a fun team. Good quarterback, good wide receiver. The offensive line stinks, which is a problem because I really love to run. But they're good. They're not great. They have Bosa on the defensive line, who is not as good as Fletcher Cox. Gonna admit, but I can still get to the quarterback. sometimes. And that's, you know, that's fine, right? I shouldn't be able to get to them all the time. That would be ridiculous. So good team, fun team to play with, and I'm 2-0. 2-0. I'm happy about that.
You mentioned the offensive line not being great. This is something, you know, I made some observations. I've made some observations as we've advanced this deep into the franchise, and that's no team has good offensive linemen. I mean, there's scattered good individual offensive linemen, but no team has like a really good offensive line unit. The draft does not seem to produce them. The draft does not produce quarterbacks. I don't know if you haven't probably done the scouting and stuff, but like in this last draft, there was one quarterback who I scouted that had a draftable like grade, like just one. Everybody else was like undraft, you know, take them undrafted. And that's the case with a number of positions, unfortunately. Left tackle, is, I can never find a left tackle. But anyways, my I made some big changes and kind of fun changes. So like I said, I won the first two Super Bowls. I lost the third Super Bowl in overtime. And so I decided, all right, time to blow this thing up. I had acquired a ton of draft picks previously from the previous seasons, drafting towards the future and getting rid of guys with salaries, trying to open up space. So I decided, all right, this is the point in Russell Wilson's career. He, I forget what he is in the game, 35, 36 at this point, maybe. But I was like, all right, Chicago Bears fans, congratulations. You got him 4 years later than you wanted him. The Chicago Bears have acquired Russell Wilson.
I got an absolute monster.
I got the number six pick. I got, is it Jalen Johnson, their cornerback, young cornerback, talented, and a first round pick in the next draft. And then I used all this draft capital I had to go from number six to number one. Okay. And so at number one, I took the quarterback, the only quarterback who graded out well, and he was graded as like the fifth best player in the draft. So I wanted to make sure I got him, so I moved up to number one to get him. And then I took all that money I saved by getting rid of Russell Wilson, and I used it on 99 rated Brian Burns as a free agent. And so I've now got this pass rushing demon that I didn't have before. So it's interesting. I just taken an interesting
nothing
angle.
Like having a really good defensive lineman in Matt, like a really good one who can just bull rush or spin past anybody and get to the quarterback. There's nothing more fun than that.
It was my weakness. It was probably why I lost the Super Bowl, because I'm playing Dylan, who has the Bills. So Josh Allen, he's on the move a lot with him. And
he's going to win the AFC Championship against me. I already know it. Like, I know what's going to happen. So to me, the season isn't about making the Super Bowl. It's about having as much fun until I lose to him in the playoffs.
You beat him before, though.
Not in the playoffs. I beat him in the regular season. In the playoffs, he came back and he's destroyed me both times I played in the playoffs. It wasn't even a contest.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting season. I'm glad we've continued it this far.
It's
and
fun.
We'll see.
I like it.
We'll see where we go. You haven't been part of that offseason drama that Dylan had. Dylan ended up with like the number two pick in the draft somehow.
I have no idea about anything. I'm just showing up and playing the games.
Yeah. So it's we're brand new team for me, basically. At least at quarterback is going to make a big difference. He's not as mobile, but he's got a pretty strong arm. So I'm getting it downfield to DK, who's like fully maxed out. I mean, fully maxed out 99 DK Metcalf. And then Rashad Penny, who was the offensive player of the year in the last season, didn't win MVP, lost out on that to Josh Allen. But so I've got a pretty dynamic offense. Now I'm just hoping my defense holds up with that addition, and I'm better at corner now. So I think I'm in good shape. 2-0. And we just started the season, so we'll see how it goes. But, Rich, another game I started playing. It's a new game. It's a free game through at least Xbox Game Pass, and I think it may have been offered for free on PlayStation. I don't know exactly, but it's called Knockout City. Are you familiar with this?
I am familiar with conversations about it. I have not played it, but I know of it, but I haven't played it, and you have.
it intrigued me because I saw comparisons to Rocket League. Now, it's not exactly Rocket League, but it does kind of straddle that line between a kind of sports competitive game and something that's easily picked up and played, simple enough. Again, this is very much the Rocket League formula, simple enough to play without being great at it or super experienced and still have a good time. Because it's simple, but again, you're going to pick up tricks along the way and you're going to get better at it. It is essentially like a wide open version of dodgeball. You score points by knocking the opponents out, getting them out with obviously you knock them out when they don't catch it, but you also don't get eliminated if they catch it. It's a much more physical game, and there's all sorts of stuff you can basically float on a sail around to when you jump and come from above and drop in on people. And I've not played a ton of it, but what I did play was pretty fun. I don't know that it's going to have the longevity of a Rocket League. I don't know if it can kind of do all the unique things Rocket League did, but I can see the appeal in it, especially being offered through Xbox Game Pass. So just kind of a cool game to get into, and sure. That might have potential in like an esport type of thing also.
Absolutely. You love to see attempts at different things, right? Like some things work, some things don't. Some things go big, some things can maintain, some things will eventually, you know, not maintain. But you like to see these opportunities be explored. And the world that we're in, you know, with subscription services and platforms and things like that, you know, to me, it gives these more of a chance.
Yeah.
If you have to live and die with just you launch a game and in the first few days you get a bunch of sales or you don't. Like the ability for these games to sort of be distributed in different ways, I gotta believe that's why we're seeing stuff like this happen. And so I'm rooting for them big time.
Yeah, I mean, how did Rocket League get
PlayStation 60
million players? Because it launched on PlayStation Plus
I'm pretty sure there's a dozen articles where they said that was everything.
Yeah. I wonder how well it's doing. I've seen good buzz about it, and people seem to be enjoying it. We'll see once I dig into it more. It's got some cool tricks to it too. You can turn yourself into a ball, and teammate can pick you up and throw you, or the opponent can pick you up and knock out your players with you. It's not ideal if that happens,
right.
but it's pretty neat. It's easy enough to get in and do the tutorial thing, and you pick up the basics, and that's all you need to play is the basics. And then along the way, you get better at it, and that's I think that's the key here. And I'll keep playing it more and see if it's something I want to stick around with. You've been into anything we haven't talked about?
You know, it's been so hard to play. It's really been Madden, and then to a lesser degree, March to October and NBA 2K, you know, the seasons that I've been playing with those, which, you know, I'll just tell you, they're great. I really love March to October. I really love NBA 2K21 season. They're both just great. I have so much fun playing them. They're video games, right? They're not completely realistic, but my God, they're so much more realistic than not. I'm one of those folks who's playing the show on the PlayStation because it feels right, but I know a lot of people have been playing it on Game Pass, and it's been doing great there.
Mm-hmm.
I play what I play, Brian. I'm a sports video game player, right? I play Madden. I play NBA 2K. I play the show.
You have your lane in each one of those games, too.
It's fun. Yeah. And I play them in ways that are by far not the most popular ways. And yet they're delivering. You know, we've said it 100 billion times on this show, but I'm very happy that NBA 2K delivers what it does with its really, really deep season modes and franchise mm-hmm. modes. Really deep. I love March to October. Like, they did not have to do March to October. And they did. And it's so good. And it's so fun. And it is so legitimate of a baseball experience. It's great. Mm-hmm. Don't play any other modes. You know, I actually did do a little bit of Diamond Dynasty and where I created my team and I tried a couple of things, but I you know, it's just so big and I, you know, I don't speak the language of Diamond Dynasty. There's just so much to potentially do and it's just not my
overwhelming. Bailiwick, you don't have the time.
Okay.
You
but don't it's have the okay because March to October speaks to me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So no, and I play in R Madden. I play in R Madden, I play in the 4-string Madden. So I'm still continue right now. I'm playing in R Next Gen Madden League, which I love playing in. And I play in my 4-string Madden League, which is all 30 teams are human controlled. And I'm 4-4 in our probably 7th season there, maybe 8th. 4-4. And in that league, dude, 4-4 is legit. Like, I'm not going to win that league. I might not. I probably won't make the playoffs. But I'm 4-4 against some of the best Madden players there are out there, you know? It's pretty good. Happy about that. That's what I play, man. It's what I still play 15 years after launching this show. That's what I
do. Look, yeah. You play what you enjoy, man. There's no reason to play something you don't like or apologize for just playing one mode. You should apologize, though, Rich. You play just one mode. Come on.
I should apologize. You're right.
You should apologize to all our listeners. Yes, thank you. Anything else? Or you want to get out of here and we'll come back, back later this month.
Let's talk about E3 after it happens. Looking
yep,
forward to that.
That sounds good, and we'll see what's left for EA Play the next month, and then exactly. We'll, you know, who knows what else can happen before then. We've had, you know, not a ton of news, but the news this year has been big stuff, whether it's college football or the two golf games or now Super Mega Baseball or, you know, the future of 2K having NFL. You know, there's a lot. It's like impactful stuff that's not necessarily going to matter this year, but in the years ahead, hopefully it'll bring kind of the genre, it'll expand it back to a little closer to what we used to have in the past. So that's sure. That's what I'm hoping for. And maybe we'll start to see the potential of that here when we see what's happening with the Maddens and the FIFAs coming up.
The future is bright, Brian Weedy. The future is bright, no doubt.
I hope so. All right, Rich, it was great talking to you.
Yes.
Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Take care.